This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, now with the American Enterprise Institute. We want to get his thoughts on all the developments in the past several days regarding the U.S. policy in the Middle East and Israel's response, the latest in the debate over Libya, as well as other issues in the Middle East. And Mr. Ambassador, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Well, it was about a week ago when the president laid out his vision for a Middle East policy, and the thing that got most folks' attention was his call for the beginning of the peace process to focus on pre-1967 borders and Israel agreeing to that. Israel quickly called that indefensible, and Prime Minister Netanyahu made that very clear to the president and to a joint session of Congress this week. Given all the back and forth here, where does this stand now and where do you think it's headed?
Well, I think the president, by giving his first speech on this subject, in part was trying to put Prime Minister Netanyahu into a corner that he couldn't get out of by constraining what he could say about what Israel wanted as his borders. But I have to say, Prime Minister Netanyahu really turned things around, and by the time he finished speaking to a joint meeting of our Congress, I think it was President Obama who was in the corner. The fact is the president had to back and fill by what he meant of referring to the 67 border with swaps. You know, swaps to me implies a little drib here, a little drab there, kind of modest changes. That's not what Israel has in mind at all. The new boundaries, whatever they turn out to be, are not going to look like the 67 boundaries at all, and everybody knows that. So I think the president miscalculated very badly. I think the reaction Obama got from Congress showed really just how isolated the president is, even within his own party. As I say, what turned out from this, I think, was the exact opposite of what Obama intended.
What do you expect the president's response to be now? Do you expect him to walk back what he said even more, or could he go to the UN in September when this resolution on Palestinian statehood comes in and perhaps not defend Israel to the extent that he claimed that he would in that initial speech?
Well, you know, this vote in the General Assembly at the UN is going to be the next big event, and what the United States should do is work very vigorously against it. The General Assembly has no authority to do this. It just complicates things on the ground. It's just another example of a silly UN resolution. It doesn't have any binding effect. It does have a political effect, and that's what everybody understands. But let's not build it up into more than what it is. I think the United States should just disregard this resolution as another trivial example of the General Assembly not having real work to do, and basically ignore it. I think that minimizes its effect and lets us get on with the real work.
Given the recent agreement between Fatah and Hamas, it seems like Israel would be rather reluctant to engage in meaningful talks with them, and the president even alluded to that in his speech. So after all this talk, is there any real impetus towards meaningful discussions?
I don't think so, and that really underlines what I said a moment ago about not understanding what the president really thought he was going to be able to accomplish by this, because Netanyahu and the Israelis are quite right to say they will not negotiate with the Palestinian authority when it's still in a coalition with the terrorist group Hamas. And, you know, that should be the American position as well. We've said for decades that we don't negotiate with terrorists, and so the odds of any meaningful negotiations starting in the next few months were pretty close to zero anyway. And you know, you just have to ask, what did the president really think he was going to accomplish by taking on Netanyahu at this particular time?
Last question on that part of the region. Egypt this week announcing that it's opening the Rafah border crossing with Gaza. The significance of that in your estimation?
Well, this is one of the consequences of the overthrow of Hosni Mubarak that really cuts against the narrative that the so-called Arab Spring is going to bring democracy and therefore sweetness and light to the region. In effect, that border has been open since Mubarak fell. This is the formal announcement of that. And what it means is that Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood, which are really two sides of the same coin. Hamas is a subsidiary of the Muslim Brotherhood, but it means they can work together in an unimpeded fashion, and that weapons, money, terrorist agents can flow back and forth between Gaza and Egypt with no impediment from the Egyptian military. I think that's bad news for Gaza and therefore for Israel, and I think it's bad news for Egypt as well, especially as they're getting ready for the parliamentary and presidential elections this fall.
Moving on to Libya now, and on the one hand, you have lawmakers in Congress saying this operation's gone on more than 60 days. Why is the president not following the War Powers Act? For his part, the president on his European trip is saying that the pressure will stay on Gaddafi until he leaves. We've seen ramped-up bombing in Tripoli. Where do you expect this to head in the coming days?
Well, I'm delighted, actually, that the president is ignoring the War Powers Act. It's unconstitutional. It was one of several mistakes Congress made in the wake of Watergate. You know, they passed the campaign finance bill, they passed the independent counsel statute, and they passed the War Powers Act, all supposedly to prevent Richard Nixon-like activities in the future. But the War Powers Act has never been taken seriously, and this is just one more example, this time by a Democratic president. Congress doesn't like what's going on in Libya. They should cut off the funding and order the president to bring the troops out, which, of course, nobody's willing to do. Unfortunately, however, the president himself doesn't seem to know what he wants to do. Originally, remember, he said we wanted to protect innocent civilians. That's why we were using force. Now he has all but said, contrary to his earlier position, actually, we are trying to use force to throw Gaddafi out of office, but we're going to do it in a slow and deliberate fashion, and we're not going to be rushed. That's exactly backwards. If indeed the president is now willing to use force to get rid of Gaddafi, the sooner that happens, the better. The more lives he will save, the greater the chance that Libya can be restored to peace and security, and you can get a less crazy government in office. So the notion that we're going to use force to get rid of Gaddafi, but we're going to do it slowly, is just nonsensical from the point of view of the very reason the president went in to begin with, which is to save innocent civilian life.
One question on Iran. The president mentioned them in his speech. Obviously, he pointed out the connection between them and Syria, their repression of their people, Syria's repression of their people. Right now, we've got Ahmadinejad leading the Iranian delegation towards the OPEC convention, and Iran chairs the event this year. So what is the right posture towards Iran besides what we heard in that speech?
Well, you know, I thought the much better speech was coming back to Netanyahu in Congress, what he said about the threat that Iran poses both in terms of its nuclear weapons program and its support for international terrorism. I thought Netanyahu laid out very clearly what the threat is and why it was so dangerous. And really, in that one speech in Congress, talked more about the problem posed by Iran than the president has in 2 years.
Before we let you go, sir, I'm sure you've noticed that in recent weeks, some folks have declared for their White House campaign. Others have said no thanks. You have mentioned that you're seriously considering it. Where do you stand right now, and what kind of timetable are you on for making a final decision?
Well, you know, I am still thinking about it, and the events of this past week between Obama and Netanyahu only confirmed to me how important it is to get a real adult into the White House when it comes to national security affairs. I think the whole schedule for this election cycle has been pushed back. Former Senator Fred Thompson said the other day he thought that people would be coming in as late as September of this year or later. I think he's right about that. I don't have a deadline for myself. I want to be sure that I make the right decision, and obviously it's a very important decision for me in particular, and for my family. But I'm doing a lot of due diligence on it. I've been to Iowa. I'm talking to a lot of people, and I'm gathering the facts to make what I hope the right decision will be.
Well, we'll certainly stay tuned very closely to see your reaction to that, and we look forward to talking to you again as events warrant on the world stage. Sir, thank you for your time as always.
Okay, well, thanks again for having me.
Absolutely. Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. He's now with the American Enterprise Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.